98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
All right, let's get one thing straight. Robert Sarver cannot move the Phoenix Suns. It would take a majority of votes from the league, and that would never happen while Jerry Colangelo is still alive. The former Suns owner is too powerful and has way too many friends in the NBA, and they would never back Sarver at the expense of him or the Phoenix market. And that is what makes me so infuriated about the news of yesterday. If Sarver even voiced the threat of relocation, he is once again using somebody else's leverage, once again standing on the shoulders of another person's giant. The goodwill built by the Suns over 50-plus years is largely due to Colangelo and not him. And the fact that Sarver's responsible for a lot of the deconstruction that's happened over the past 10 years, that makes his attitude even worse. On paper, this is a reasonable ask. The numbers are not bad in the context of arena renovation, but the fact that Sarver was apparently calling council members on Wednesday night for some good old-fashioned arm-twisting, the fact that they tried to rush this thing through while nobody was paying attention, well, that tells you everything you need to know about Robert Sarver's image in this town, and it just got a lot worse. Now, one of those council members is asking for 5 public meetings before anything at all is decided. And if you think what you've seen on the court has been ugly so far, well, folks, we haven't seen anything yet. All right, the Bickley Blast brought to you by Chapman BMW. 2 great locations, 1 great experience. Check them out online, chapmanbmw.com. And do not forget this Saturday, the grand opening of their store in Phoenix on Camelback. I will be there if you want to come and hang and talk sports, 11 to 1. Lots of free stuff to give away, free lunch, all sorts of good stuff. So that's this Saturday. Come join us. All right, let's move on with this. Let's get on with the heavy lifting, if you will.
Don't lift anything that heavy. I'm already messed up today.
I'm jacked up. And look, I'm not the only one who knows about this, because coming down Camelback, the Echo Canyon Trail, it's treacherous. You've done it, haven't you, Jarrett?
No. What? I've done it?
I thought you're fairly athletic.
I thought you would have. I'm like Vinny. I don't get hiking. I like when it's a nice day. I like being outside.
Yeah.
But somebody just figured out, took walking.
Yeah, like,
and they figured out how to turn that into something.
There's a giant mountain in my path. What should I do?
No. See, but it's different when you come to Camelback. I mean, that Camelback, you can see basically from anywhere in the valley. You get to the top of that thing, you can see Chase Field. You can look out in the distance and see State Farm Stadium.
You know what? I can go online and do a Google search and see those two places, too.
I can give that a goog and do it, all right?
Like, why would you want to see State Farm Stadium this year?
Well, you can't see in it, so.
I'll tell you the funniest thing ever. One year, I went up Camelback Mountain with John Lott and the Arizona Cardinals. He used to love to bring rookies up Camelback Mountain, because if you've ever done Camelback, the last ascent to the top, you need a lot of mental strength to get through it, because there's just a lot of climbing up boulders. You know what? Not necessarily that difficult, but just a lot. So it's you gotta have it between the ears. So he believed you could build toughness, simulate a football game by climbing Camelback Mountain. Dan Williams, rookie, who had never been to the desert, never seen a mountain in his life. Biggest backside of any man I've ever seen in my life.
Dumpster Dan. Dumpster Dan. Used to call him.
Couldn't, and you should have seen him trying to get up that mountain going, what are we doing this for? What are we doing this for?
For the audience who didn't hear, at 10, you went hiking on Camelback Mountain on the off day yesterday.
I wouldn't say hiking. It's a climb. It's not a hike.
And then you fell.
And, well, I slipped coming down, and in the process of catching myself, I wrenched my body so bad that I strained, tore, pulled something. Some muscle around my rib cage is jacked, and I can barely even move. If you notice, I haven't been using my fake laugh often today, that's why.
So you admit it's fake?
No, it's not fake at all.
Oh, we just haven't been funny today.
Nothing about it is fake at all. Okay, so, yeah, that in mind, we didn't miss anything, but yesterday turned out to be quite a firestorm. Intersection of sports, politics, popularity, corporate welfare, all that stuff. And here we are now dealing with the residue of all of this. Now, Jason Raleigh came out and told Burns and Gamble, we're 100% committed to staying here. Robert has never told the Valley he wants to leave.
We are not talking to any other city. We are focusing on our deal with the city of Phoenix to stay here until 2037.
Yesterday on his interview with Burns and Gambo, Jason Raleigh went on to say this.
What I would like to reiterate is that, and this is, I know this has been out there, which is patently untrue today, is that we are 100% committed to getting a deal done to stay in downtown Phoenix. That is Robert's number. That is his priority A, priority B, priority C. He said that numerous times. We have never one time out in the community said that we are threatening to leave this state. We haven't had any conversations with other cities. Look, we can't control the market, and the reality is out in the sports market, there are other cities that would love to have an NBA team. Seattle is putting $700 million into a building there. Las Vegas would love to have a team there as well. Kansas City has a building that they would love to put an NBA team in. We are not talking to any other city. We are focusing on our deal with the city of Phoenix to stay here until 2037.
Okay. Then that was the response from what was written on AZ Central and in the Arizona Republic by Lori Roberts, who let that little cat out of the bag that Robert Sarver had threatened a city council member to move the team to Vegas or Seattle. I found it interesting that Jason Raleigh brought up a third city, Kansas City, without being asked. Hey, wait, this is getting worse. Hey,
right, exactly.
Lori Roberts was on with Bruce and Pamela, Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes on our sister station, KTAR News 92.3 FM. She had a lot to say.
The context of this is important, is that they're trying to twist the arm of the council person
without a doubt.
Is a no vote.
Without a doubt.
Right. To me, you can just say, well, I'm just giving them the reality, but it's still a threat.
In terms of locales?
The thing that he always says is he's going to, as the city people have told me, quote, lay out his options, unquote, which means leaving downtown Phoenix. I always took that to mean going out to one of the Indian reservations or, you know, wherever he could convince somebody to build him an arena. Mm-hmm. But then in the last week, as he and the city were frantically trying to line up those votes because the votes were disappearing once this thing became public. In his conversations with one council person, he brought up the words Seattle and Las Vegas. I don't know why else those would come up in conversation about, please, will you change your vote? I need your vote, unless that was a threat or a prediction or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But that is what was relayed to me by one member of the city council.
So doesn't it bother you, and I misspoke in the blast, it was Tuesday night when he apparently was calling, reportedly calling council members, trying to twist their arms. Now, this goes on all the time.
Yeah, that's not an uncommon
But isn't
practice.
It weird that an owner would be making those phone calls, especially for a process that was so secretive and rushed like this one is? All of it, the timing of it all, really kind of raises suspicions. And that, in this day and age, is not going to fly with voters. What is going to happen at these five city council meetings? You think they're really going to have five of them? No way.
I heard some rumblings.
Way.
I didn't see the footage, but I was reading some reports from the footage of the city council meeting yesterday where it was supposed to be a meeting about the timetable of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
One resident got up and was just railing on the fact that the Suns need a new owner.
Yeah.
If there's one, it's going to be a circus.
Yeah, it's right.
If there's five, it's going to be a five-ring circus.
It's going to be a five-ring circus. Either way, it's going to be full. It's not going to end well.
On the Robert Sarver note, we've been alerted to this. Several people have tweeted us. It's been on Twitter, Reddit, that they're trying to coordinate a mass chanting for tonight's nationally televised game. In Phoenix versus Dallas, anti-Sarver chants to go over because its game is nationally televised. So there's a group of a lot of fans, I guess, that are trying to coordinate something for tonight for their anti-Sarver stuff.
Wow. Well, they've got a nationally televised game to do it. And
I'm trying to look long-term on all of this, mm-hmm. and I said this earlier in the show today. Nobody wants the Suns to move, unless you're just basketball hungry and
you
live in
move.
Seattle or Las Vegas, and maybe you want that. I think both of those markets are earmarked for expansion. There's 30 teams. They could easily go to 32 with cities that have ready-made arenas. And Seattle's already proven they're a great sports town and a great NBA town. and those people got screwed. But I don't know if, and I understand the vitriol and I understand the anger. I don't know what a public display at a Suns game is going to do in terms of making things any better, other than having your voices heard.
Well, you don't think in this situation that's enough? I don't know about you, but I am really agitated that Robert Sarver, if this is true, would let those locations come out of his mouth. I don't care if it's behind closed doors or not. Like you said earlier, tell him I'm going to have to weigh my options and leave it at that. As Lori Roberts said, we'll just assume that there's somewhere else in Arizona. But for a guy to come in and buy the franchise for a $404 million price tag, now have it be worth $1.3 billion, and now threatening to move our franchise that happens to be in his wallet to another city because he's not getting corporate welfare, that is going to make his problem 100 times worse.
If I may, we spent this segment talking about stuff that's disclosed behind closed doors in private becoming public.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do you have no problem with something like this?
This is something, as I said earlier, that should come to the public purview. If an owner of a basketball franchise who claims he's in partnership with us, who is making a fortune based on our passion and our love for basketball, and that's why he's worth $1.3 billion now, and now he's using threats to leave behind our backs, that's worse than saying it in front of our faces.
Well, I mean, again, Robert, there's denial that it was said from a member of the Suns organization. If it was said, it should not have been said. But a city council member, a fan, anybody with any interest in this team has to realize that if things don't improve in an arena situation, whether that's renovations or a brand new home, that threat exists.
Do you think
there's how many cases of teams moving over arena or stadium issues?
City council members generally are not huge sports fans. What are the odds that a city council member made that up and then happened to nail two markets that would use an NBA franchise? This story got the attention of the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Are you asking me if it's possible that a politician could lie? Is that how you're
thinking? Okay, I mean, if you want to marginalize it that way, go ahead. No, of course they'll lie. Of course they'll lie. But this isn't a lie to voters. This is a behind-the-scenes negotiation.
That's what you can't figure out a reason why anybody would invent that.
No, I can't.
I can't.
To get on the Bruce and Pamela show.
Now that's funny. Look, Vegas wants a basketball team very, very badly. MGM Resorts is dying to have a basketball team. I'm reading the story in the Las Vegas Review Journal just about everything that they're doing to get positioned for a franchise like this. But even they can see that this is probably not going to be the one. It's not. You need a majority of board of governors. Each of the 30 NBA teams has a board of governor. Okay? You need 16 of those guys to say, yeah, it's cool with us if Robert Sarver moves somewhere. Now, most of the time, they will not stand in the way of another owner moving because
relocation fees.
Lord help them if they get in the same boat one day and they need to get out. And they don't want to be like, oh, okay, you want me to vote for you when you stood my way? But in the situation here, you want to talk politics? There's not a team in the – I can't think of a team in the NBA whose board of governor would tell Robert Sarver, yeah, you got my vote. Because he would have to take a call from Jerry Colangelo before and say, okay, you know what I mean? This franchise will always be bigger than Robert Sarver. It will be bigger than us. It's Phoenix's first franchise. Everything about us as a sports market spins from their story. Everything. Everything. Do you know that infamous B-roll of the cactus shot, the saguaro? It came when the NBA All-Star Game came to Phoenix. And Jerry Colangelo sat down with the TV executives and said, show this, and you'll get people jacked up about Phoenix as the market. This franchise is too old, too important. It has spanned too many decades to be floating in the winds of relocation.
What do you say then to the people of Seattle, who are one of those franchises? You know, everybody wants to talk about, and there's this fan base now, or a faction of the fan base that says, oh, let them move. We'll get an expansion team like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
okay, we've seen an example. We brought up the Charlotte example yesterday when I was on with Burns and Gambo during Holiday Heroes. That's one example. They got the expansion team in 2004 after the Hornets left for New Orleans. Okay, fine. But what do you say then to the people of Seattle who saw their team taken away from them, and it wasn't for a lack of support. It was stadium issue only.
Well, Key Arena won a championship also.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And that was a 40-year franchise.
Gus Williams, Downtown Brown, Jack Smickmer. Monty Shelton.
Dennis Johnson.
Dennis Autry.
But what do you say to those people who are still waiting for a team?
You say, look, the NBA's got 30 teams right now. They've got room for two more. Expansion fee. Vegas, Seattle, boom, you're done.
That would leave Kansas City as a viable relocation option with a ready-made arena.
Boom, you're done.
Yeah, boom, you're done.
You're still at 32. And guess what? If that happens, they ain't expanding anymore.
If the NHL clings to the Phoenix market, you don't think the NBA would cling to the Phoenix market? Do you know? Come on, dial this thing out. Do you know how powerful Jerry Colangelo is in
the basketball context?
The Hall of Fame basketball court has his name on it.
Yes.
Does Jerry Colangelo?
Do you think he is going to allow
his network of friends right now?
No. But do you have any idea how powerful that man is? Do you know? His Rolodex, there I go again with that term, dating myself. His contact list.
His circular file with phone numbers handwritten on it.
There's no way the NBA is going to let Phoenix move. It's not going to. It will happen over Jerry Colangelo's dead body.
We've seen plenty of examples.
Who in Seattle?
All of sports.
Who was the owner of Seattle? Who was the owner of Seattle when they sold the team?
When they sold the team?
You probably will get this. But who? Okay, let me ask
you this. Howard Schultz, right?
Howard Schultz. Sorry. Howard the Duck.
But he's not the guy that moved. Clay Bennett is
Dwight
the guy
Howard.
That moved him.
Who was the owner of the Seattle Supersonics when they won the championship in 1977, 76? You don't
79,
know.
79, was it?
79?
I don't know.
You don't know. There's no legacy there. There's a champion. There's a good fan support. There's not a story like Phoenix.
We've seen example after example in the sports world of unpopular owners, even among their peers, getting the green light to move.
And Colangelo is not involved in the franchise anymore, though, right? Like,
I'm done talking to you.
Okay. No,
you're being hopelessly ignorant.
No, Bickley's point is the influence that Jerry Colangelo would have with Board of Governors representatives. In the NBA, say, look, I'm not with the team anymore, but this was my baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why the NBA exists 51 years later in Phoenix, Arizona, and that man's name is Jerry Colangelo. Jerry Colangelo saved this franchise from moving once before. After the drug scandal, they were on their way to San Diego. The wheels were in motion, and he bought the team.
Right. He and David Stern had a great relationship. Adam Silver mentored under David Stern. I could lay this all out. His involvement with USA Basketball, his involvement with the Hall of Fame. He's still among the power elite in professional basketball, even though he's not running a team, per se. There's no way. I will guarantee you this. I won't guarantee this, but I'll venture a guess that when this report came out yesterday, true or not, when the word Seattle and Las Vegas were allegedly voiced by Robert Sarver, there's nobody in the Valley who is more angry than Jerry Colangelo. Nobody. That's my gut feeling.
And
because this is bigger than one man. And that's what makes Suns fans so angry. It's not yours, bud.
And because Sarver probably knows that there's no way that he'd be allowed to move the franchise, right?
Of course he does.
So using that as a tactic is almost worse in a way because he knows it's not a real threat. It's just
that's right. It was another. So you know what it was? If my guess, if he did say it, and I have no reason to doubt he did, it was just yet another moment of petulance. Just another moment of rah, 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 rah. That's what it was. Except there's nobody to fire.
I mean, you brought up we played it earlier, maybe last week on the show, the video of the fan confronting Robert Sarver.
Yeah. And you saw how quickly he snapped there.
And the fan said, sell the team, and it turned into basically an insult.
Yeah.
That $100, that's all you have? I feel bad for you.
Says an owner to a guy who's sitting in a seat that he purchased for one night from Robert Sarver. It's just, it's mind-boggling that a guy who accumulates that much wealth can make this many PR mistakes. Jason Raleigh's got a tough job. That's all I got to say.
Man, what the hell y'all doing out there?
And that's, and the, again, other, that's the other part of all of this, what Jarrett said, too, about fan organization for a nationally televised game, which are few and far between for the Phoenix Suns this year, on TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting off a sneeze.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah. On TNT, with a prominent, the most prominent former Phoenix Sun, Charles Barkley, who has not shied away from taking shots at this team on national television early this year. I mean, the Suns could be the talk of the basketball world tomorrow, depending on what happens tonight.
Could be.
No pressure.
Or anything. If there was ever a time to sit down with DeAndre Ayton and go, look, dude, I got to tell you something. You're a young kid. You don't know anything about the history of this franchise or the history of your owner. But it would be really important to everybody. Just go find another level and just kick tail for 2 weeks, please.
Could you just score 75 points tonight?
Could you could you just carry us until January 22nd? Could you put us on your back until Jan 22? And then after that, shut it down. I don't care. Go average 30 and 10 for the next 3.5 weeks and we are good.
Because I mean, bottom line on all of this, the way I feel is, and I think you share these thoughts. Again, I desperately don't want the Phoenix Suns to relocate. I do believe that $230 million worth of improvements, and it's been suggested by some, and I know Gambo talked about this, maybe that ratio needs to split. Maybe the Suns need to pony up a little bit more money in addition to the money they're ponying up for an improved practice facility, which I do believe that this franchise needs as well and probably should have been addressed to this point already.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Maybe if the ratio evens out. But I do think $230 million, even with some public money in there, when you consider all the good that the Phoenix Suns existing in downtown Phoenix brings to this area.
Oh, yeah.
It makes a whole lot of sense.
Dude,
I understand people that are upset because they don't want to spend tax dollars on sports franchises anymore. And I get that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But to have nice things, and I know you can argue it's not a nice thing, but to have a nice thing, there's only 30 of these teams.
Listen, I'm with you. I would vote for this. I think this is a good deal. I just resent, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, Robert, if you never said these words to a councilman. I resent a guy who has given us 9 years of garbage, okay? 9 years, and a lot of it is his fault. So let's be honest. I resent that that guy can make $900 million owning a team the way he's owned it and then not go to the community for a partnership. I get that. I'll sign up for that. But to threaten to leave, to hold me hostage, metaphorically speaking, ain't playing that game.
And just real quick, some Suns news, unrelated to that, but also news. According to Gambo just now, Trevor Ariza will play tonight versus Dallas.
Dang it. Showcase game. Join Burns and Gambo along with Cheez-It starting at 2 p.m. live from the Safeway on northeast corner of Ironwood and Ocotillo and Queen Creek. They'll be giving you the chance to win tickets to the Cheez-It Bowl December 26th at Chase Field. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Coming up, there were 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round last year. All 5 are starting for their teams. Where does Josh Rosen rank on that list? We'll let you know next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I don't want to say it hurt him. You know, is there inconsistency there? Yes. But Josh, as he and I spoke the other day, he just got to do a much better job of really keeping his eyes down the field. Don't worry about the rush. Because when he does that, he's pretty effective. And we've seen that over the last couple of weeks.
Steve Wilks, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, addressing the media yesterday, talking about how much the constant upheaval on the offensive line has hurt Josh Rosen or affected Josh Rosen. And you hear him kind of downplay it there by saying, yeah, you still got to keep your eyes down the field. I get that. And I understand that Josh Rosen as a rookie, you want that experienced offensive lineman and offensive line in front of him to make things easier. But that has not been the reality for it for him this year. And I'm looking at the offensive linemen that have started this year in front of Josh Rosen, Bick. You've had two different left tackles in DJ Humphreys and Corey Cunningham. You've had one, two, three, four different left guards. Mike Iupati, John Wetzel, Jeremy Vunovich, and now Colby Gossett. Mm-hmm. One starting center. You've had Justin Pugh, Daniel Munyard, John Wetzel, Odey Obuchi, and Jeremy Vunovich at right guard. And at right tackle, you've had Andre Smith, John Wetzel, Will Holden, and Joe Barksdale.
Yeah.
That's hard for anybody to overcome, especially a rookie.
No doubt.
That being said, and I talked about this earlier on, and the parallels between DeAndre Ayton and Josh Rosen are evident, both in rookie seasons, both with struggling teams, with not the requisite talent to be a winning team around them. Mm-hmm. But I said about DeAndre Ayton, I'm going to stop judging him. I got to do the same I got to be consistent. I got to do the same for Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Who has kept a remarkably positive attitude through all of this.
Oh, he really has.
I don't doubt him as a competitor whatsoever. I think he's a really competitive guy. But he hasn't let that spill over. You've only seen a couple of instances of even fleeting moments of frustration from him this season.
No, I've seen a couple. And
one of them was last week. J.J. Nelson didn't complete a comeback route, didn't come back far enough to the ball, and you could see Josh Rosen really demonstratively gesturing, you got to come back to the ball.
Certainly not the first time that J.J. Nelson has upset the quarterback with his route running this year.
Yeah, who's going to wear number 14 next year, you think?
It's a good question. I hope it won't be J.J. Nelson. I think a couple things about this. I think that the Cardinals and their offense, I can't wait for it to just be done. I'm with you. I can't get this thought out of my head. I read the other day that the Falcons at 4-9 are still mathematically alive for the playoffs. And it's just, it's a nothing chance, but they're still mathematically alive.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, that doesn't mean that they're going to be playing with their hair on fire and all that kind of stuff. I look at this game on Sunday and I go, if we can't get up for this game, and I don't mean can't, but I don't think I'm alone in speaking that. Put it this way, I would be surprised if the Bird Gang devoted their Sunday to this football game the way they did games in September and October.
For a number of reasons.
Some
of them competitive. I mean, when you get to a time of the year where there's a lot of stuff going on, and if you're like me, like I spent yesterday, we didn't have a show yesterday, I spent a good portion of my day holiday shopping. Because I'm just one of those classic procrastinators.
Yeah.
This is actually early for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday, you might want to go out and get some shopping done or spend some time on the computer doing some online shopping.
Yeah.
I agree with you that this is when folks start to tune out.
And especially
when you're playing a team that's almost as bad as you are.
And generally the way it works with fandom is it's not a matter of you sitting around going, oh, you know what? I hate this team. This team stinks. I'm not going to watch them today. Because watching your NFL team on a Sunday, it's not only learned behavior and ingrained behavior, it's cherished behavior most of the time. The conversation more like now goes, shouldn't you be doing something else? Why are you wasting your time watching punts?
There's no bigger sporting commitment than an NFL football game.
It's true.
That's a long day any way you slice it.
And,
true.
Yeah. No, it really, really is true. That's very well said. And I think that last week's game against the Lions kind of lowered the bar now because nobody wants to devote another Sunday to that kind of football game. And you might get that. That might be the kind of game you get. A lot of punts.
Well, and this is a team that's been besieged with injuries too, a point that got brought up earlier. Different positions. In fact, Steve Wilks, David Johnson's on the injury report for this week. Has missed practice. What is David Johnson's prognosis for Sunday? Here was Steve Wilks yesterday.
I think David will be fine. We just wanted to give him an extra day to let it just rest a little bit.
Now, we talked earlier in the week, Bick, about shutting Josh Rosen down. Guess what? Shut David Johnson down, too. He's not going to meet his statistical goals. There's nothing to chase like there was in 2016 when he was trying to get 1,000 and 1,000. He's not even close. It would be devastating. The same thing applies. It would be devastating for him to suffer an injury
and have to
spend this offseason rehabbing,
well,
too.
If
Larry Fitzgerald was coming back for next year,
I'd say
shut him down, too.
A lot to be said for that. Now, generally speaking, watching Julio Jones go at Patrick Peterson should be worth the price of admission. Julio Jones was sent home with the flu. So, now, again, it's Thursday. He's a football player. I'm guessing he's going to play. I think these ratings for this weekend's game, they have the chance to be very low in the context of the Cardinals and what they've been recently. And they have nobody to blame but themselves. And I don't want to portend any doom. But the more Josh Rosen plays, the more I'm living in fear of them making a classic mistake in every rep's a good rep. Let's get our guy out there and grow him. Okay, I get it. You show a lot of toughness by guiding a team, by doing what Troy Aikman did, by living to talk about a 1-15 season where you were just pummeled on
a
weekly basis.
That was a different time. That was the late 80s. Let me ask you this. Are you much of a gardener?
No. Rulon Gardner, Jason Gardner, Chance the Gardner, Chauncey the Gardner.
What? Who are those people?
People that work in his neighborhood, apparently.
No, one of them was the guy from Being There. Peter Sellers, his character in Being There.
Look at Bit going with the deep movie trivia.
Yeah.
After claiming he doesn't watch movies that much.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I'm not much of a gardener.
Let me ask you this, though, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You plant a seed. What do you need?
Water.
Fertile soil. Water. Sunlight.
Yeah, right.
Is the soil fertile with the Cardinals?
No. Barren.
No, but there is plenty of manure.
You want to use water as an ingredient?
Plenty of fertilizer, Vinny.
There's been a drought there.
Uh-huh.
And there's a dark cloud over this team right now, too, so there's not much sunlight. I just came up with that for the rest of my life.
Off the top of my head. That was quite an existential metaphor you just spun for us.
Yeah.
Well done, man.
Guess what? That plant is not going to grow.
Have you, grown things in your life? Tomatoes?
I'd rather not say.
In case
it might incriminate me. No. I'm not a gardener. I have no hobbies.
Yeah.
Still working on that. That's my New Year's resolution.
To find a hobby?
Yeah, find a hobby. We're teaming up with Bud Light to give you the chance to win the Bud Light Best Seats for the Cardinals-Rams game on December 23rd. You'll get on-field access, complimentary Bud Light, and, of course, the best seats in the house. Just text the word DILLY, D-I-L-L-Y, to 620-620 for your chance to win. Coming up, looks like Trevor Ariza will be in uniform tonight for the Suns. Will it be the last time? We'll get into that. Some more NBA talk next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
You're not really listening to me, are you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could say anything right now, like you're a complete tool.
Uh-huh.
But you wouldn't hear it, because you're a freak with a microphone.
Yeah.
It's not even challenging anymore.
I know.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Isn't that true, Sphincter Boy?
Yeah, but...
All right.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Let's go! I haven't done so yet today, but I wanted to tip my cap once again to the gentlemen that follow us every day here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station. Burns and Gambo, they had their annual Holiday Heroes event out at GCU Golf Course, which is a beautiful place, by the way. They've done a great job with that place. But it's obviously Holiday Heroes raises money for the 100 Club of Arizona. 100 Club of Arizona assists the families of first responders, either seriously injured or killed in the line of duty. And yesterday, 8-hour broadcast, because they did our whole time slot and their whole time slot. They raised over $100,000.
That's outstanding.
So great job to them. Everybody that put Holiday Heroes together, from the radio station, from all the partners, to GCU, to all the listeners that contributed. Much kudos to all of you. It's a great organization.
I agree. Yep. No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I want to thank those guys for allowing me to take that Veterans Day off yesterday.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Without them, you would not be injured right now.
It's very well said. It's well said.
Speaking of Gambo, he tweeted earlier today that Trevor Ariza will be available for action tonight, will play tonight versus the Dallas Mavericks. Suns and Mavericks tonight, 8:30 tip at Talking Stick Resort Arena. Why this is even an issue is twofold. Because December 15th looming Saturday, or late Friday night in Phoenix, actually, is the first day that players who signed free agent contracts over the summer can be traded. There's all kinds of speculation about Trevor Ariza, a veteran with championship experience for the second half of the season on a 4-win team. Doesn't make much sense.
Well,
And there's interest in him. So there's that.
Yeah.
And Trevor Ariza didn't play in the last game, which was the second half of a back-to-back against San Antonio on Tuesday night. Here's what Igor Kokoschkov said to Fox Sports Arizona following the game on why Trevor Ariza didn't play.
You know, back-to-back, Ariza, who is, you know, 35 years old, back-to-back play, gave us a lot last night. So that's just basically debate, really, with myself, how much we use him. I'm not saying you play the game to lose, but, you know, maybe some other guys had a chance to play.
Of course, it led to immediate speculation that Trevor Ariza didn't play because the Suns didn't want to risk injury, and that a deal had been agreed to, or was close to being agreed to send him out of town, which I think is the case, even if he plays tonight.
Yeah, and so why play him tonight? What is the point? I don't get it.
I don't
know. Is it because you don't want to embarrass yourself because you said you rested him? And isn't that insane?
No, I heard Gambo talking about this yesterday, too, and you know, him working his sources. He said, look, I don't think anything's been agreed upon, but he did cite, he's talked to players who said, oh, it's coming. A trade is inevitable. He will be sent out of town. It's just a matter of when. The sooner the better for everybody involved, don't you think?
Well,
that Trevor Ariza's been a cancer. A disappointment is a bigger word.
But if he knows he's gone, you're getting a guy who, and I'm not saying he'll be disinterested. He's a pro. But
yes.
I don't know what the point of allocating a single minute to him tonight would
Let's just say Trevor Ariza should treat this like a second-tier bowl game.
That's right. Tap out. Right? Just tap out. Yeah, I don't get it. I think it's going to be an interesting scene tonight. I think that for a lot of reasons, the 8:30 tip time might actually help the Suns in terms of limiting the audience, the people who would go and maybe make bad noises, if you will.
Bad noises.
Bad noises.
How do you mean?
Boo.
Oh.
Yeah, the anti-Sarver chance.
Bodily stuff.
But at the same time, I'm not sure it's not something that could be, maybe it could be a teachable moment for the Suns owner to realize, oh, wow, people really are angry.
You think he doesn't know that?
Of course he does. Yeah, and it's, I think it's kind of the problem. And I don't know, Vinny, I do know that a sports team can change the way cities look at stuff like this. I saw it with that Cardinals team that won that proposition for what is now State Farm Stadium. They beat the Redskins in an ugly game, but they won, and that was the Sunday before a Tuesday election, and the thing passed by the skin of its teeth. So it helped. So the point is, if DeAndre Ayton was ever to step up and carry this basketball team, that would be a really good time. Really good time. When is Devin Booker getting back, by the way? When is Devin Booker going to talk about his confrontation with DeAndre Ayton? Devin Booker hasn't spoken to the media since. Now, he doesn't have to because he's injured.
Yeah.
But I'd sure like to get his take on what went down.
On the Devin Booker.
Sure, it was nothing.
Devin Booker front. I put a poll. What should be the Suns? Who should be the Suns' point guard going forward? Okay? Because Devin Booker played a lot of point guard. So that's one of the options. Devin Booker went healthy, only got 3% of the vote. 40% of the vote went to trade for someone. Closely behind that, 39% of the vote, Diana Taurasi.
Now, you think about that.
And 21%, now, hold on. 21% Robert Sarver.
In some ways, that would be genius. To let Diana Taurasi become, would she be the first female to play in an NBA game?
Yes.
Are you really asking that question?
I wasn't sure if that somebody else had like a minute or two somewhere in the past.
No. Ann Myers-Drysdale was in training camp with the Pacers.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. Because NBA players respect Diana Taurasi. And she's fierce. Now, could she handle it physically? Probably not. But
did she get out of a Russian contract?
But that would fix your credibility problems. Who wouldn't want to see that? Now, you wouldn't want to, you know.
That would be a way to improve the TV numbers.
Oh, my goodness. Who All came right. up with that idea?
Jarrett did.
You did?
It wasn't a real idea. It was sort of a funny poll, but as many people want, in fact, way, way, way more people voted for Robert Sarver and Diana Taurasi than voted for Devin Booker or trade for someone.
I would just worry, though, because Diana Taurasi is in her mid-30s, and she might not be able to play the second half of back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Last night in the NBA, the Raptors crushed the Warriors in Oakland by 20, 113-93. They did it without Kawhi Leonard. So now the talk, the reactionary talk was, uh-oh, it might not be a foregone conclusion. The Warriors might not win the NBA title. Good win by Toronto, and they're a really good team, 23-7. They're easily the class of the Eastern Conference right now, although Boston's starting to play better basketball. If a best of seven championship series started tomorrow between Toronto and Golden State, would you pick Toronto?
No.
Yes.
No. You would?
If it started tomorrow?
No, I wouldn't.
If it started tomorrow, yes.
Look,
not me.
Does anybody really believe the Golden State Warriors are 100% right or even caring that they're 100% right at this point in time? They don't.
No, this is the point where boredom, when you're a dominant team, where boredom sets in. And they've done a great job guarding against it.
And they're all talking a good game. Kevin Durant came out and said, the Raptors aren't a team on the rise. They're already here.
Yep.
You're getting a lot of that from them, but deep down, I think that the Warriors believe that when it matters and when DeMarcus Cousins gets out there, it's going to be a steamroll.
Real quick.
Who's going to check them in the West? Let's be honest here. Who is really going to check? You think the Rockets are?
No. They're in 14th right now.
Explain that to me. How can a team like that claim, yeah, we would have beaten them last year and then fall into like they have this year?
Well, see their offseason moves for reference on how they got to where they are right now.
Yeah.
Coming up next, not only are the Suns in action tonight, they're all over the newspaper and internet headlines for their arena issue. The vote on renovation of Talking Stick Resort Arena has been pushed back to January 23rd. Lots of people have thoughts. We want to hear yours. We're going to open up the phone lines on this Thursday next, 602-260-9870. To the phone, straight ahead, Bickley and Murata, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Day.